What a privilege this morning to be with you and have the privilege to open God's Word and focus on the power of the cross. Last Sunday was our first Sunday in the series, and I've been pretty excited about today. And, you know, pastors love and enjoy so much more preparing and reading and thinking and praying than I'm sure it comes out to other people. But I want to speak to you this morning about the power of the cross in one certain area, and I want to use a word that I know is real to many of you, and most of you probably have a real concept of what it means for you, but I want to talk to you about the power of the cross and the importance of sanctification in your life. I believe that the cross speaks to us about many areas of life. I don't believe that the cross is best used as just a symbol on the wall or a necklace or, you know, some kind of way that you can just think, well, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm kind of a cultural Christian. But the cross is most important to be understood that it's a living power of God, and God wants to help us and speak to us in our lives and in how we live by the meaning of the message of the cross. It certainly speaks to the church. It speaks to all those who choose to follow the path of Jesus and who choose faith, who choose to believe that Jesus is who he said he is and that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And for those that take that journey of faith, the cross has so much to say to us. So if you're here today and you've chosen Christ and you've chosen the Christian life, I'm so glad of that, and I hope that as you continue to think about and read scriptures about the cross, that it'll just be deeper and deeper and more meaningful. And maybe if you're here today and you've not really chosen for sure what you believe and whether you are a Christian, I want to challenge you to hear what the Bible says to you about the cross. Again, the message of the cross. Our theme verse is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We read it last week, and we'll read it again this morning, and I want you to especially note the third word here. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross is either foolishness in your heart and your mind, or it's the power of God. It either is something that represents very important to who you are and what you choose about your life, what you understand about the cross, or it can just seem like something that's not very important in your life at all, and you can dismiss it. It is foolishness for those who are perishing, but it is the power of God to those that are being saved. So which one is it for you? Is it foolishness? Is the cross a little bit more than you're interested in? Or do you really want to understand what the cross means and what it says about the power of God? What is God able to do through the cross? The Apostle Paul, who wrote these words, was driven by the message of the cross. All throughout his writings, the books written by Paul are many examples and places where we see that the cross is central to who Paul was. He felt called of God to be a missionary and go to other places and tell the story of Jesus. And the cross was foundational for his ministry. I mean, everywhere he went, he talked about the cross. He wanted the people to know that the cross was one and the resurrection the other, the two central foundations of the whole message that God wanted to say to us. In fact, he said in verse 17, the verse before the one we just read, he said, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with human wisdom, lest the power of the cross be emptied of its power," or the cross be emptied of its power. Paul knew that the way you looked at the cross could make it powerful in your life, or it could be an absolute necklace around, be on a necklace around you and not really do a whole lot for you. So I want you to think about this morning how powerful the cross is and what it is that understanding the cross can help you with your life. I want to share with you a little bit about the importance of sanctification and why the power of the cross and what Paul says in his writings affected my life, and it's so important in my life. So the question is, what is powerful about the cross? Why is it important and central to your faith? Well, this morning I want to talk about sanctification, and I want to talk about the power of the cross over sin, and that there's a certain power in the cross when you understand what Jesus did that has power over sin. God alone can forgive sin. I believe that. Probably most of you believe that. I mean, we know that you can forgive one another. We forgive each other when we harm one another. We're to have an attitude of repentance. But we know that God alone, only God, can forgive sin. So when we think about the cross, we think of Jesus dying for our sins, the sinless one, taking on himself the sin that each one of us committed and redeeming us and giving us new life. The cross has the power to conquer sin. There's two parts of sin that I want to highlight this morning. The first part of sin that I want you to think about is the sins that we confess that we've committed when we know that we have violated what God wants. When we know that we've made choices or decisions, or we've done something or said something or not done something that we know falls short of the glory of God, as one definition of sin says. And we know that Jesus died for those sins. And if we confess those sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The cross, because of the cross, we are forgiven for our sins. And that's what it means to become a believer in Jesus. To become a Christian is to confess those sins, to know that we're a sinner, to know that Jesus died for our sins, and ask him to forgive us and to take away those sins, and we have new life in him. And so that's the beginning point. I think of that. There's different words that describe that time when you come in your life, when you become a Christian. Another description is people say you're saved, or you begin that journey with Jesus. However you describe that, there's a time in your life, if you're going to walk with God, that you ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. That salvation of experience, you might say, is a first big step in your relationship with God. And our relationship with God has many steps. It's a process. It's an ongoing process. But salvation is kind of that time when you've come to the place that you ask Jesus to forgive you for your sins. I was somewhere in my early teens, 13 or 14 years old or so, when I realized that I had to make the choice to ask Jesus to forgive me. And I did. And I remember being baptized. And I talked about that a few months ago. What an experience it was for me. It was a beginning point of walking with God. And after I came to that point of asking Jesus to forgive me, then from there on, it was a growing experience, and God would speak to me about things, and I would become aware, and I went to a church, and I heard people talk about what it meant to be a growing Christian, and it was a process, but there came another time in my life when I seemed to face something else that I want to describe in a little bit. Well, not only does Jesus want to forgive you for your sins, but the Bible tells us that there's something else that's a part of our nature that God cares deeply about. And there's several words that are used in the scripture to describe it. One is the sinful nature, that inside of every person, because we're born with this nature, there is a tendency to self-centeredness. There's a tendency to want our own way and really want what we want. And that does not always line up with the will of God or the hand of God. And so there's this nature inside of us that often controls us and causes us to do things and feel things and say things or have attitudes that are not pleasing to God. It doesn't mean that we've not made the decision to ask Jesus to forgive us, but sometimes there's other issues inside of us that are maybe deeper and that God wants to deal with in our lives. And so when we think about the power of the cross over sin, I'm thinking about the sins of forgiveness, but I'm also thinking about that nature that God wants to deal with us inside of us. The truth is that God wants to remove the sin nature from our lives. He is able to do that through the cross. I'm thinking about these two steps of our relationship with God. First, that recognition of sin, knowing that Jesus died for us and trusting him for forgiveness. And then secondly, knowing that God wants to cleanse us from that nature of sin that, that is within us and pulls us away and we recognize as not being God's perfect will in our lives. There's a lot of different names that are used to describe this: salvation, sanctification, forgiveness, cleansing, confession, full commitment. A lot of words that maybe are used in the church, but the basic idea is if anything inside of us doesn't please God, He wants to deal with it. And He wants to help us to give it to Him, and He wants to take it away. Whatever you call it, God wants sin to be removed from our being. And the cross makes it possible. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And listen, Paul wrote about this a lot. And I'm going to read several scriptures, but there are a lot of them to think about. I guess I don't want to, today to try to preach this, I don't know the right term, a big emotional sermon, for a lack of a better word. I want you to hear what God says about the sin nature this morning and what He wants to do about it. Therefore, it says, or those in Galatians chapter 5, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Paul uses a word there, crucifixion. He says that if you belong to Jesus, if you're going with Jesus, if He's who you're choosing in your life, then you understand that something has to be crucified inside of you. There's something inside of you that God wants to deal with. There's something inside your heart and your attitude and your nature that God can deal with and that God wants to deal with. You notice Paul saying, I have been crucified. This is something that's happened in me. There's been a crucifixion of me. Now he said, Jesus is crucified, but I'm also crucified. I mean, we know, we don't believe that Paul died on a cross, crucified. He was martyred in a different way. He's not talking physically. He's talking about spiritually. He uses this idea and this relationship of Jesus and what He did on the cross. And he said, I've got to do that too. Inside, the things inside of me must be crucified as well. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the sinful nature. And then Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. Right there, this is Paul. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live it by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul says even more directly here, I've been crucified with Christ. There's a certain part of us, we need to come to that place when we say, I am crucified. I am giving it to Jesus. I am committing it to the cross. I am committing it to what God can do with it on the cross with Jesus. I am crucified with Christ. Every part of us can be given to God. There is a participation in what happened on the cross that we can choose and give to God, that part of us that we know isn't pleasing to God. That self-centered nature can be given to God. That part of us that holds on to things that we know makes us unclean before God. I can remember, especially when I was a teenager, that I wrestled with and struggled with some attitudes on the inside. And I thought, boy, I hope nobody knows what I'm really thinking. As if, you know, well, God doesn't know what I'm... Well, of course God knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I do and He knows what I'm thinking. But I used to feel so unhappy about that or ashamed about that and... Oh, God, I'm just hopeless. I mean, if you knew really what I felt, God, and my attitude toward people and how that came out sometimes, God, you would never have anything to do with me. And I wrestled with that for a long time. There was something inside of me that I was wrestling with. And when I think of the crucifixion that Paul says here, Paul is talking about those things on the inside that make us unclean before God. And it's radical. I mean, Paul says that we must crucify those things. It's life changing. And he says that here. It's deep. It's something to wrestle with when you are crucified with Christ. What does it mean for you that Paul says this? I am crucified with Christ. We must be crucified. When I think of the crucifixion of Jesus, several words come to mind. One thing that comes to mind is that at the crucifixion, something dies. Something dies. When you're crucified with Christ, something's got to die. that nature that you hold on to, that self-centeredness, those attributes that are not pleasing to God must die. And only God can do that in your life. Maybe an attitude of pride that you struggle with. Maybe being judgmental. Maybe you have a harsh spirit. Maybe you're struggling with something inside of you that's really, what I don't know what word to use, but it's nasty. It's just not pleasing to God. Sometimes it comes out, and sometimes you're still, it may not come out, but you're wrestling with it, and you're struggling with it, and you think, I know this isn't good. I don't want this. I don't want to be a part of this. And you wrestle with that, and it's got to die. To be crucified with Christ means we give that unclean spirit to God and say, God, would you take it? Would you put it to death? Would you sanctify it? Would you cleanse me? Would you take it away from my heart and my life? When there's a crucifixion, something has to die. Whatever it is, maybe it's a stubborn spirit. Maybe it's all about you. Maybe you're kind of in the place where you're nice on the outside, but you're really not that pleasant. And sometimes when you get your feathers ruffled, or you don't get your way, or somebody don't do it like you think they should, right away the reaction is, I don't like that. You kind of become a little ugly on the inside, and maybe it even squeaks out to the outside. But the real issue is, who's in charge? Who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your heart? Who has the right to change you? Who has the right to take what you are and perfect it and clean it and cleanse it? That's in part what sanctification means to me. Something has to die. It dies when you're crucified with Christ. Something has to change. We change how we see things. We understand God's word differently about sin and about unholiness and about attitude and all those things. We accept the holiness of God, and we say, we want to be holy like you are holy. We don't want that stuff that drags us down spiritually in our attitude and our spirit. Something changes. Our minds change. Our hearts change. Our tongues change when we give it to God and He sanctifies us, and that nature is crucified. And also something replaces it. God just doesn't take away the sin nature or take away an issue in your life, but He gives you something in place of it. That's the power of the Holy Spirit to love people, to love God, to have an attitude that's not selfish, to have an attitude that cares more about other people than even about your own good, as Paul writes about in another scripture. When Jesus comes in and cleanses you and takes that stuff out, it's not that God just says, well, good, it's gone. He wants to fill you with His love. He wants to fill you with a spirit that cares deeply about finding and following the will of God in every area of your life. When there's a crucifixion with Christ, something replaces the love and the power of the Holy Spirit. There's something new. When we're crucified with Christ, something is new. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. God is really into new things and new people. You know, sometimes culturally Christians think you just kind of drift into being a Christian. You just drift into a relationship with God. But the reality is, we have to make a choice about our faith and what we believe about Jesus. And when we believe in Him and accept Him and we give Him all that we are, He makes us a new creation. He helps us to think differently and to see things differently. That's part of the sanctified life. A.W. Tozer is a great author, written many books that I've read, and so I really like some of the things that he writes. But he wrote about the cross, and this is what he said. The old cross is a symbol of death. God salvages the individual by liquidating him and then raising him to newness of life. God offers life, but not an improved old life. The life He offers is out of death. And the truth is, those things in your life that you can't fix, I mean, you can butter them up and you can try to change your behavior so people don't see what's on the inside. But if you want God to change you on the inside, you have to realize that only He can do that. He does that by the power of the cross. When you come and you say, God, I give it to you, and I ask you to take it away in my heart and my life, then He can come in and sanctify you. See, the point that A.W. Tozer is making is God that just doesn't kind of smooth us over. He's got to forgive us for the sins, and he's got to take out the sin nature in order for us to be where he wants us to be and totally committed to him for the sanctified life. It's not just God wants to improve you and me. God wants to put to death anything inside that dishonors him. And for us to see it that extreme is so important. Until you see how important it is that God puts to death the sin nature, you can never get past and get over and get through and change those things inside of you that dishonors God. We are changed by the power of the cross. 1 John says, no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. We believe in Church of the Nazarene, and I believe as a Christian there's a wide spectrum of doctrine about sin and what happens when you become a Christian, when you're saved, and when you're sanctified. But I believe that God wants to deal with sin in our lives completely. He wants to take it away. He wants to forgive us for the sins that we choose, and he wants to cleanse us from that stuff that's displeasing to him. He doesn't want us to live with that draw, that pull, that negative, that stuff that just people look at us and they think, boy, they have no joy, they have no witness, they have no reality to their Christianity because they're stuck in this mode of something that drags them down, and sinful nature might be a good word to call it. Whatever it is, no one who continues to sin has either seen him or heard him. And later on in that chapter, verse 9, and there's so many verses that we could look at, but go on to that next one. It says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning. God is not looking for us to go on living with that stuff that drags us down and pulls it down, but God wants to cleanse it out of our lives. If we are crucified with Christ, the power of the cross causes us to look at sin differently now. When we understand the power of the cross, we understand the power of God to overcome and conquer sin. And we will look at sin differently. God can and will take away that struggle if we seek him. One more scripture this morning, Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And again, there's so many that we could look at today. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may abound? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized in his death? I really believe that if you want to honor God with your life, then you've got to bring everything to him, including that sin nature, and say, God, I ask you to deal with it and take it out of me. I'm not saying this morning that if you haven't come to understand that and you're still wrestling that you're not saved. I don't mean that at all. I mean that it's a relationship with God. And there comes a time when you make certain decisions about who's in charge. And salvation is one of them, and sanctification is another one. And he calls every single one of us to seek that full commitment in their lives. I've told you a little bit of the story before. Several times since I've been your pastor, I've told you about my experience in this area and why this is so important to me. I was about 17 years old or so when I really began to wrestle with what it meant to be sanctified, to wrestle with what it meant that God wanted me to be holy. I was a Christian. I had confessed my sins, and I was trying, but quite frankly, there were some things going inside of me that I did not understand. I had some attitudes that just seemed like I couldn't get rid of, and I knew they weren't right. And I've said before how when I was a teenager, I had a terrible temper, and I had a mouth. And when I got angry, I used it. And when I didn't use it, I felt it anyway. And I knew it was not honoring God. I mean, for me, I wrestled with this attitude of anger and temper and some other things too. But that was primarily the thing that really weighed me down. I would get angry and I would say things to people. And then I would feel terrible about it. The next day, I would know it was wrong. And I'd say, oh, God, would you forgive me for that? I know I shouldn't have said that. You know, and I'd be fine till I didn't get my way the next time, and then I'd get angry again, and I would have this attitude, and sometimes it would come out. And I wrestled with that for two years or so. I kept thinking, I heard a preacher say one time that everyone in this church needs to be sanctified holy, and I wrestled with that. What did he mean by that? And at the same time, I had this battle going on the inside of these attitudes that I knew were not right. Well, first, I had to come to the place to be honest with God about it. Say, God, this isn't what you want for my life. This isn't the attitude you want me to have. It's an attitude of self-centeredness. It's an attitude of wanting my way and not really caring what your Holy Spirit says to me. I kind of drew a line and said, God, you can have almost everything in my life except on this side of the line. For example, somebody cuts you off and you don't get your way, you have a right to be angry. You have a right to have feelings that are pretty negative to people. You have a right to judge them, you know? See, that was on the other side of the line that I'd given to God. I gave him a lot. I was trying. I was wanting something. But I struggled and struggled and struggled until that day when I was so fed up with myself that I came before God and I begged him to take that stuff out of my life. I didn't have any theological words for it at the time, but I remember the prayer. God knew exactly what I was struggling with. He was waiting for me to acknowledge my sin before him. When I did, for me, it was a sudden experience. Long process, but a sudden experience. And I remember God, on a Sunday morning, came to me. He took it away. I have a lot of problems, but rage and saying things that are nasty isn't where I struggle today, and I'm thankful for that. God changed my heart on that day. I don't know where you might struggle or if this is real to you in your life, but I know that the sin nature affects us all in different ways. And the only way that you can deal with that sin nature is you get honest with God and you call it what it is. And you say, God, would you take it out of my heart and out of my life? I know God can do that because the cross is powerful. That's what our first scripture said and many others that I haven't read today. The power of the cross. God can take those things away from your life. There's something that sometimes people say to me as a pastor, and I've said before, one of the things that bothers me the most that people say to me is, that's just the way I am and I can't change it. That is a neon sign that somebody really needs to be sanctified. When you say in your heart, it doesn't honor God, but it can't be changed, you're really blaspheming the scriptures and what God wants to do in your life. That's a strong word. I know that. I want you to know, if you got something in your heart, in your life, and maybe you have a stubborn spirit, I want you to know that God can help you with it if you call it what it is and you give it to him. I want to invite you this morning to ask God the question, is there anything in my heart, God, that you need to crucify in my life? Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Debbie to come and play, and we're going to sing two verses that are going to be on the screen of Hymn of the Church. I chose this song, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. If you would go, Nate, to that first verse. I chose this song this morning because of the power. I thought of the words. This is the third verse of the hymn. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. I want you to know today that he has the power to deal with what's in your heart and your life, and he wants to today. He's able to set you free. One of the things that I didn't put in my sermon, but I may next week or the week after, is the freedom that the cross gives us. We are free. When we understand the cross, when we understand the meaning of the cross, boy, it just sets us free.